A rumbling sound, then three sharp knocks.
Ba-ba-ba-duk-duk-duk. That's when you'll know he's around. You'll see him if you look.
Ba-ba-ba-duk-duk-duk.
We might read another one tonight, eh?
But you said I could choose.
This is what he wears on top. He's funny, don't you think? See him in your room at night?
Mum, does it hurt the boy? Mum, does it live under the bed? Mum? Mummy! Mummy!
Once that you've decided on a killing, first you make a stone of your heart, and if you find that your hands are still willing, then you can turn a murder into art. There really isn't any need for bloodshed, you just do it with a little more finesse. If you can slip a tablet into someone's coffee,
Hi and welcome to the Unnamed Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
This is Damien.
And this is Douglas.
So,
yeah, I'm giggling because...
You're an idiot.
I'm an idiot. And idiot. I just thought, the next time we do this, here's what needs to happen, Damien. He says, hi and welcome. Mm-hmm. His name is what?
Whatever.
What, are you and saying then, you don't know what our name is?
And then you say... This is hi. Right. And I say, this is welcome.
Yep. It doesn't work if it's premeditated.
That is where you're incorrect.
Because it's the next week when we do it.
You're going to realize what's happening and start shaking your head. And you're like, I have to do this again. And then we're just going to keep doing it. Like, I'm telling you what's happening. No. And you still are going to try next week, but it won't make any difference. Because we're idiots.
Yep, that we are.
And it only needs to be funny for two people.
This is not democracy.
One is the loneliest number.
Yes.
Right. Two can be just as bad.
What?
I don't know the fuck to that song.
It's a terrible song. Right.
What do you review?
I don't know.
What did you... Oh, never mind. He has it on the screen.
Great.
I'm prepared.
I remember now. Right.
So this week, uh-huh. Douglas has asked us because Yay. He's asked us because ash, he ash. He missed the fact that there's no Black Mirror for him to watch.
Mm-hmm.
He decided he needed more horror anthology things to talk about.
Is Black Mirror horror anthology?
It's kind of horror-y. So it's more science fiction than horror. But
I guess.
The thing about it is people get... frightened at one episode and they're like, oh, the whole thing's horror. And so
is an agreeable fact. That's how facts work, right? You show one is true and all of them agree and become true immediately. So from now on, we know Black Mirror's horror,
right?
And so we are here to discuss the horror anthology film XX, which recently came out on VOD. It's actually all directed by women.
Oh,
hence
no.
The title XX.
I did not see that back.
Well, okay,
seriously, that's so dumb.
I didn't understand that. That is kind of dumb.
You please, guys didn't get that?
Please tell me that's a joke.
I didn't get
that.
Oh my god.
What's in the box?
Present.
Can I see?
Danny.
Stop being so nosy.
It's okay.
I don't think anyone's been up here in a really long time.
Maybe it's cursed.
Your son tore my daughter's fingernails off.
You're not going to punish him?
So the four segments in this movie are as follows.
So shouldn't it be XXXX?
Stop it. The four shorts in this film are as follows. Mm-hmm. Don't Fall by Roxanne Benjamin. Her Only Living Son by Karen Kusama, the person who did The Invitation.
Right.
The Birthday Cake by St. Vincent, the reason we're watching this movie.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to tell everybody.
And The Box by, I'm going to ruin this name, Jovanka Vukovic. Yeah. Jovanka
you've watched so many football players throughout your life. You've seen that name.
Wow. Jovanka
My
eyes and my mouth are just
Djokovic.
Are just gone. Jovanko Djokovic.
Djokovic.
Alright, I'm done. The Box, directed by someone whose name I won't ruin anymore, because that's all edited out.
Yes.
You didn't hear that, everyone. Only we
Her name
heard
is
that.
The Joke. Right. Djokovic.
By Ivanka Stankovic.
I'm sure it's up to you. You like sees in front of you and your brain is saying you can do this.
Nope.
And then your mouth just fails repeatedly.
My brain and mouth worked in tandem. They're not at odds with each other.
So Douglas, you brought this movie to the table.
Yes, I did.
Because you wanted to talk about your St. Vincent music.
St. Vincent.
So let's talk about St. Vincent music. No.
Yeah.
Tell us about this movie.
So as you said, there are four stories here. And it's weird to... This is another one of those movies, and I don't know if it's on the podcast, but we were probably talking just before the podcast about Black Mirror. Was that in the podcast?
No.
Okay,
not
cool.
In
so
the podcast.
Just before we were talking about Black Mirror and how it's weird that somebody will call it a horror show. And to a certain degree, some of those episodes are kind of horror-y and scary and stuff. But because one episode is scary, then the whole thing is scary. This definitely had some horror in it, right? And there was definitely some horror in this. For instance, Don't Fall is like straight up a monster show. And there are some sort of creepy aspects to most of this movie. And I think that's something that people do. They're like, ooh, this movie is, or this show is creepy, therefore
Except
it's
the
horror.
Birthday. There wasn't anything.
There was, yeah, the birthday one was, it had creepiness to it, right? You know, this woman is carrying
that's
her
a
dead
nightmare.
Husband.
That episode around. Is a nightmare. Because like even the joke of it at the end when they're going to give you the retitled version. Like, it's one of those things where it's a horror in the sense that it's somebody's nightmare.
Yeah.
Exactly. Is it something that's effectively scary for you watching it? Not necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you put yourself in a situation, you're like, this is the worst thing that has ever happened.
And I definitely try to make it a little funny.
I appreciated that.
Yeah, that shot was good. I mean, at the end, because essentially they did the Doctor Strangelove thing.
They got you at the end. You're like,
Yeah, because the whole way through, I'm like, well, it's... You know, it's passable. Mm-hmm. And then the joke came, I'm like, all right, this is officially my favorite one.
Well done.
And it did help that, you know,
St. Vincent did that one.
That was Annie Clark. Yeah. And I like Melanie Lynskey as well. She's pretty cool, from Togetherness to, you know, that shitty Netflix movie that you guys don't like.
Yeah.
That I love. but yeah, so that one was actually pretty great. And I mean, I remember from get-go, she's put in a situation and you just think to yourself, yeah, that's not a good place to be.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? Are you going to be like, hey, honey, not only can
I know it's your birthday, but
daddy did a naughty thing.
But get ready.
The police is coming.
You know, you're happy right now. Should go back to sleep. What about your birthday? No.
We'll do that tomorrow. Remember, she'd already had an accident.
Right.
This is before. This is post accident.
Listen. I'm going to put you in a taxi. I'm going to send you to Disney World.
Mm-hmm.
When you come back, you're going to be crying. But that's fine. You can't be here.
Yeah.
Not today.
Yeah, and they have a whole lot of the whole I'm moving things around and need to pretend like I'm not doing what I'm doing gag. And that's, you know,
it was fun.
It's fine. It's fun. It's cool. I think that was definitely my favorite one. I liked Don't Fall as well. Just simply because, hey, it was a dumb monster show. Mm-hmm. And I'm done with that. Yeah. I'm fine. And the... Monsters. Yep. And I think the fact that the monster looked kind of like something out of a Kurt Russell movie from the 80s. I was okay with that.
All right. Fair point.
So there was that. Now, Her Only Living Son, I'm actually not too sure on. I think it was fine. It was all right, but nothing like great. I think the whole understanding or revelation around the town kind of deciding, you know what, we are here for one reason, is it's kind of interesting.
True bubble
gum. it was all right, but the box, and that's the starter, right? So the box started off this thing, and I remember
they started it with a showstopper, in my opinion, and they should have saved that one to the very end. Because the rest, by comparison, really didn't live up to the box is clearly, in my opinion, it's so good.
I think the box is dumb.
Yeah.
So first of all, what really shook me, what took me aback by the box was just the deplorable acting in that show.
You're a monster.
I don't mean, like
children starving themselves?
I mean, forget children starving themselves, right? That there was a point where the father shouts at his child and then stops and realizes he's done a bad thing and looks like he wants to kill himself. Mm-hmm. And all of that was just so over the top. It was so... Mm-hmm. It was horrible, right?
You say horrible, I say potato.
Potato! So there was that. And then just this whole... So he looks into the box. He's like, you know what? I don't need to eat anymore. Mm-hmm. And it just made no sense. They called out the wife, but the truth is what she's just like, yeah, it's okay, he lose a few pounds, it's no big deal. And also, so after it became a dumb joke to me, this is a time when you start to think to yourself, okay, what other dumb jokes can I inject into this movie or this short? And I hope that they realize that this whole thing could have been stopped with something as simple as a drip. So just inject food into these and then they're good to go. They don't, you know, die. Because, wait.
So let me get this straight. You are telling me that the logic in a show where a child looks into a box and then whispers to two people and they stop eating... You're having issues now. He said the surrounding logic doesn't hold up.
And at the end, Norman is like, I look for him every day because I want to be with them and see the thing. And
what's the final thing that she says?
I can't remember. What does she say?
Final thing she says is, I'm also hungry.
Yeah. She said that.
Thank you, you stupid show. Thank you.
That's dumb.
Yep. God, I love that one. Oh, it's so good.
Andrew's
so good.
Is just shooting flames at us. I don't care. It's great.
I don't care.
It's great.
Damn it, it's so good.
But it sounds like you really like this movie, man.
The only, like, the monster one. Alright, so the first one is a box. It's about a child that opens a box and stops eating. And then he whispers to his sister and his father, and they also stop eating. That one's far and away my favorite because it is beautiful. Like, I like the structure of it because
every day there is like a crane shot of a table with food. It's beautiful food.
So yeah. So I have to tell you, if they didn't that was another joke I added, but they didn't go as far as I wanted. So it was clear. So they started off with like adult food.
Yeah.
You know, potatoes, chicken, salad.
Like a whole meal.
Exactly. Then slowly but surely you notice, hold on, there is pizza. Ribs.
Right.
There is spaghetti and meatballs. There is Kentucky Fried Chicken. And eventually, as Andrew says, they just went straight to pizza.
She's like bribing them with chocolate. Yeah. She's like, look.
I thought at one stage, the living room, the dining room table would just be full of fucking chocolate and candy. Like that would be dinner.
At Christmas. Just like a box of Christmas chocolates.
Yeah. And I love how everybody looks at each other and they laugh like, haha, you really think I'm gonna food. Eat that?
No, no. And just the entire, like, watching the woman, like, you see, she has, there's a dream sequence. Where you see what she'd be, like, in her dreams, this is what she'd be willing to do so that her family can stay with her because they've all lost their minds. And it just continues. And eventually, everything goes wrong and she's looking for the man. But the thing that I love is that they don't tell you what is in the box at any point.
Yeah. Right? That's necessary.
Right. That there's one. No, right. Yeah. There's no, they're like, it's a mystery, but that's not the, it's dumb. The thing that is happening here is so stupid. We're just going to walk past that and show you. And then she's just like, yeah, like, I want to understand, but I don't. I'm looking for this man so that he can explain. But in the interim, still hungry. The show just ends. Number two is the birthday. Spoke about that. That one is fun. It is a delight.
That was good.
There is nothing like Andrew said, it is a nightmare. And it's a thing that the second you apply actual logic to it, it falls apart.
Oh, of course.
But that's not why we're here. Horror movies don't dwell in the realm of logic. It's just this ridiculous situation and how these crazy people cope with it. And at the very end, they have some, basically a post-credit thing, and it is a delight. It's an absolute
delight. That is the best moment in all of this movie.
The third one is her only son, right? Or is that
her only son is the third. Wait, actually.
Was the monster one the only living son? The monster one was the third one. That for me is the weakest one. It's still fun, but it's just dumb. It's just this dumb monster thing. Like, these four idiots walk out into the woods, brush up against a rock.
It's Indian sacred ground.
Right. And then are murdered. And it's just a delight.
Spirits.
And the thing I love about her only living son is, first of all, I enjoy her performance because until the very end, you kind of believe that she thinks that the father is a normal, like, you get to understand who the father is, but she speaks so candidly. You're like, is the son mad or is she? I'm like, no, she was just praying that this day would never come. But you get bits and pieces of the outside world they're like, listen. When she goes to the school and is talking to the principal.
That was great.
And the lady is livid because this lady's son just tore out her daughter's fingernail.
You know what?
And the principal.
Why don't you just take your daughter out of school? Because the truth is she's.
Yeah.
She's
she needs some
destabilizing
days off, right?
factor in this environment.
And then, like, the mom is like, so you're not punishing this? And she's like, listen, this never happens. We're here to make sure that your son. And you're like, what is happening with the son? And then by the end, it's all explained. And the ending is the weakest part, but I enjoyed my time so much on that ride. And by the time it ended, you just went, who cares? Oh, it is.
Yeah.
But Andrew had poo-pooed this entire thing. Once you picked it, Andrew's like, dog, don't do this. And he's like, it's a horror movie. Remember, Damien's at the party. You're just going to have Damien come here and shout expletives for 2 hours. And that's not a good podcast.
It depends. Sometimes it works.
And
we just can't do it every week.
Right. And I was like, I mean, it's a horror movie. Like, I guess it's going to be bad, but who cares? And so, expectations real low. And then what came in, there's barely any horror in any of this. Like, you shouldn't show this to children, but if they saw it, nothing would happen. it's just...
You shouldn't show them their father dead in a panda suit.
Right. It's not good, clean fun. It is fun. It is also good. And so, this is fantastic. Like, this is one I'm going to keep. What I'm going to call it is Trick or Treat 2. And then have 2 X's at the end. Trick or Treat XX is what I'll name it.
Ladies version.
Right? And enjoy myself. I really did. Smile on my face the entire time. These 4 vignettes. So dumb.
I'm so happy.
So well done. Oh, damn it.
Now at least I can agree with somebody when Andra happens. Because I can just feel it.
So moving on to the next segment.
Right. So Mr. G-Man.
Oh, hi. How are you doing?
I'm actually quite anxious to hear what G-Man thinks about this movie.
Yes, what are G-Man's reviews?
Mm-hmm. I'd like G-Man to review this movie.
So how do you want me to go about this? You want like an overview, or you want me to just go like sequentially?
I wouldn't dare presume to know how G-Man reviews. I watch The Master and learn.
Feel better?
Yeah,
I'll go cool. Alright, so it starts out with a box.
Mm-hmm.
I like the box. Mm-hmm. Until the dream.
Sorry.
So that was she said joke in my head.
Oh, what?
When you said, I like the box. That's what. In my head, it couldn't even get out my mouth. I was laughing. Like, my brain said the message down. I'm almost like, no, we're too busy laughing. Up here. Kevin, tell you the joke. Right, so you
moving
like
along.
Box. All right, cool.
Until.
Mm-hmm.
You like the box.
Mm-hmm.
Until the dream.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I think part of it was because the dream made so much sense to me. Right? And that made sense as an ending. Right? Mm-hmm. Where that's where we were leading. As opposed to when we came back and then we got the other ending.
Ah.
Right?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I can see that.
And the other ending, I was like, fuck that.
Fair enough. All right. Fair point. I can see your objections. Yeah. This, of course, that is what these lunatics would do. Like, I don't eat regular food anymore. The only
They're
food
like,
I
we're
want.
Waiting. We're waiting. And now we're all together and we can do it.
The box, aka Hannibal season 6. Like,
actually, when I saw
sons
it, I
of bitches.
That's what was happening as well.
You got me.
The rest of this movie can go and fuck itself. So the birthday party, was all right, right?
It's one of those things.
Like the thing about it was, I feel like that in the same way I felt about the shitty Netflix movie she was in.
Right,
like the joke seemed simple enough,
mm-hmm.
and like for a short film to feel long with a joke like that,
why?
Where you're like, I get it. Nothing felt. I mean, other than the title and the end, which I didn't see coming.
Right.
But that was it. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Just didn't care.
Right.
Really quickly.
What you're saying is, after the first one let you down, you were just in straight, fuck this movie mode.
Like, very possibly. Like, right?
I don't give a shit what you people do with the rest of this.
The Indian monster movie was bad.
Right? Yeah, but that's what it's supposed to be.
Exactly. That, isn't that was a part of
exactly
its charm.
Exactly what it is.
Right? I watched that.
They were pretending.
Like, yeah, it's a thing.
Yeah.
John Carpenter, here we go.
That is basically what I think all horror movies are.
And by the time we got to Karen Kusama's movie,
yeah,
I don't think my brain was ready to even care about
you're
anything.
This would have to break out into a musical for me to give any fucks.
Like, Damien, it was just not a good day.
Yeah.
Right?
This movie gets 0 Fs out of 10.
I just sat there staring at the movie going,
yeah, I know the feeling.
You know, you're past me already. Like, I wonder if it would have had a better chance if I watched it in 4 installments.
Okay.
If I watched the box on its own, got upset at that, and then came back the next day and watched another episode.
I'm trying to think if it would make it better or worse if you watch it beside either one of us two idiots. You have probably hated the movie more.
I was beside him.
Oh, you? Oh, yeah. All right. Well, then, no. Yeah.
But we tend to watch these together.
The thing about it is, though, with this one, if you don't have anybody to riff off of,
yeah,
it doesn't,
mm-hmm,
right? So the only time I get, like, loud or vocal is when I hate the movie,
mm-hmm,
and I have to start coming up with reasons to sit down.
Still, yeah, and watch this.
So that's where Shaq comes from, right?
Shaq!
Things like that,
yeah.
Yes. But that movie is so important.
I'm going to just keep saying that to movies now, just to
so
be
funny.
So stupid.
Andrew, because I enjoy this so much, I can understand people who are actual fans of horror movies going, I don't know what the shit you people are doing. Like, this is all bullshit. None of it was scary. None of it makes sense, even by horror logic. I don't like inch of this movie. That's fine. I really,
like, the box.
Really
the
love
box,
this movie.
The box was so good.
Yeah, and it still is so good. So good.
And then it just ruined it.
Damien, you like this movie a lot.
I really, really enjoyed
this
movie.
I feel like if I watch it a few more times, mm-hmm, I'll get to your stage. But right now, I'm just like, it's a solid movie.
I did watch it twice, so that helps.
Okay, that helps,
Because the first time around, mm-hmm, the monster movie was the one that I went, I guess 0-4 ain't bad. But when I went back, I'm like, no, this is just like, they weren't trying to make anything else. They went, we have to put 4 idiots in the woods and murder them. And they did it. And it was fun. The jerk guy was a jerk. There's a nerd guy. He got murked. Everyone got murked.
It was Cabin in the Woods.
Yeah. And like, enjoy all of this. I sat down and at no point, unlike Andrew, this movie, it is a short movie because it's
80 minutes.
Right. But it feels like an episode, like an hour long episode of a thing. Like, it just blows past me. And this one, I, like, even when it was a 3-4, I was like, I have to keep this one because I have to see this again. And then when I watched it the second time, it became a 4-4. Because all of these parts that I don't like, I still love. Like, as a anthology, it is just, from start to end, it's just so good. Just all of the parts. Like, even the thing where, like, the overacting and the child being so stoic all the time. And like, I like every bit of this. All of it is overdone. None of it is necessary. It doesn't make any sense. And that's what horror movies are. They're just, like, all of them I can guard. If this happened to me in real world, this is the logic way out of all of these situations. And then you just go, no, that's not what horror movies are for.
I can't wait for you guys to see Get Out.
To dumb.
I love Get Out.
To dumb. People seem to love that.
Yeah.
Like, a lot.
That they do. And I hope I will love it
when I
get to see it.
You remember a couple of weeks ago, you said something on this podcast, you said something to the effect of, I've watched a lot of movies with white people, but I've never seen anyone that represents you two talking to me and Douglas, and the same with you.
Right.
I found someone that represents you.
That is Damien. They made a movie about Damien. Like, nope, not doing any of this. Pack up this shit, going home. Reverse this truck and kill all you people that drive to my yard. Out on. It feels like I like this movie even more now knowing that Andrew hates it.
I almost always knew that was a factor in
it
movies
really
you love.
Really does.
Right? You want it? Sometimes you'd come in and you'd be like, "I like that movie," mm-hmm. and then I'd come in and be like, "Fuck that movie!" You know, I love that movie.
Yeah. I'm like, no, because I assume there'd be parts of it that Douglas would just go, "I can't watch this stupid footage more." But Andrew is the only one here that is a horror person. Like, you'll watch them because you
care. I'll watch them because I legitimately enjoy them now.
But Andrew is the only one that's like, horror movie. Because he told us to watch The Purge and we've never forgiven him since.
Never.
And will never. It's never going to happen.
Can't wait for The Purge 4.
Yep, congratulations. I wouldn't watch The Purge 4 even if you paid me.
You can pay me.
You still not...
How much do I need to pay you?
$1 million.
He doesn't have that. That's not... It's one. Not a. First of all, you're messing this up. Saw some article they're redoing Shrek. What
yes.
the shit?
Well, there's a Shrek 5, but it looks like it's going to be something different.
Yeah,
something
they're like, all right, listen, we're moving away from Shrek.
Rebooting The Matrix.
You guys... moved away from Shrek a long time ago when people stopped watching it. I'll take a reboot of The Matrix. Hopefully they get they learn the lessons from the first one. Don't tell any stories. Do not tell a story.
I don't think punch kick punch. Yeah. I don't think anyone's going to make that one.
Yeah. Alright. Like, the Animatrix proved you could tell a story in the Matrix world. But those won't make great movies because there's not enough gunshots. I want the dodge bullet gunshot tomfoolery. That's what I want.
I hope all of you jump in a lake.
How about John Wick but with superpowers? Doesn't matter. That
but is John Wick has a superpower.
Exactly. But what if he had more superpowers?
Really, it would become ridiculous.
But we saw that there.
We only need one superpower.
Right. Imagine if instead of blocking bullets with his super cape, you were able to dodge bullets. Huh? What if John Wick could dodge bullets?
I pre-ordered La La Land the other day.
John Wick has his super cape.
And you could call back Neo. You could get him. Listen, we saw John Wick. You're Neo again.
But John Wick.
In The Matrix. No. Matrix.
You're Matrix John Wick.
Your name in this one is John Wick.
And they've already killed your dog.
No. If John Wick Chapter 3 is just, it was all a simulation. That would explain why everyone in New York are assassins. Like, all of this makes sense. He's still stuck in The Matrix.
Good stuff.
We did it. Andrew, get on your typewriter. Type me up a script.
I got it.
Ah, damn it. Movies are dumb.
All right, moving on.
Yes.
So.
Legion is finished. No.
Legion is finished. Mm-hmm. We could talk about Legion.
No, let's talk about what
let's talk about something else. Mm-hmm. Anyways, there's something I want to talk about, just a tiny bit. Douglas brought it up a few weeks back.
Mm-hmm.
He said that he had gotten hints that I was a little upset at the Before trilogy.
Yes.
That I was not perfectly aligned with all of you.
Right, with the correct notion that it is perfect. Trilogy.
In the last few weeks, I have rewatched all of the Before trilogy.
Mm-hmm. Thanks to me.
Yeah. Thanks to you.
Mm-hmm.
In the proper definition.
In the proper
Has he told you the story? Has he told you the story?
So Criterion released the Before trilogy.
Yeah.
I super got onto that when they had their sale the other day with a bunch of other Criterions. Like, I have a big pile now that I'm working through. I made a mistake.
Yeah, you did.
And clicked on DVD for before. And I was so upset. Like, I didn't even... Like, the thing about this... So, this is now the Blu-rays. But the packaging is the exact same.
Yeah.
The only difference is this. So, unless you're looking really closely, you wouldn't know. And I went to my email to check, did I make the mistake or did Criterion make the mistake? I made the mistake. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't realize this until I popped it in the PlayStation and it said DVD.
Did the PlayStation immediately catch fire? It's like, oh no. Oh, there's been a mistake.
Anyways, that's been rectified, thankfully, by my gracious brother. And I've revisited the trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to share some thoughts. Number one, I was wrong.
Ah, okay.
These movies are great.
Okay.
Number two, I'd like to talk about what I actually think about these movies. So if I'm forced to rank these movies from best to worst, I'm going to go Sunset, Midnight, Sunrise. That's just me, right? And I'm coming...
No, one, two, or three. Cause, like...
Two, three, one.
What?
Okay. Right? Give me a...
Sorry. Are you saying... Which one is your favorite?
Sunset 2, number 2.
Okay.
In Paris. The one in Paris.
Okay.
The second is the one in Greece. And the third is the first one in Vienna. Right? That's just my ranking.
My favorite before movie is
the three of them together.
Because that's how they are watched.
Sure. But I want to talk a little bit about like how I felt rewatching these movies now. In that, I think, I don't know, many people have talked about these movies and always like to say, I've gotten older with these movies and so I have changed. As these movies are movies that are separated by decades, right? You have 20s, 30s, 40s, Jesse and Celine. But I don't know what it is about me and the way I'm... let's say enjoying movies like these, but say for example the first episode of this series, which for the most part they are just starstruck lovers, right? They are people who have just met and they don't really have any complaints about each other yet.
Why would you?
Obviously, right? They're just having this fantastic day in Vienna, which is a fantastic day. Moving on, the other two, they have reasons to bitch at each other. And those moments when they are, even though the moments that they're not, that they're actually being like great friends with one another and in this relationship, like you can tell the chemistry is great and some of the dialogue is wonderful. So for example, in Midnight, there's a conversation where they're walking down the path and she's talking to him about, what would you change about me if you wanted to stay together for the next 56 years? And talking about Billy Goats and all sorts of stuff. And it's a great conversation. But what I found myself enjoying the most was the conflicts themselves, right? So I've always held in high esteem what I call the breaking point in Sunset, which is when finally Celine goes, all right, I'm going to be honest, right, in the car. And they have that just confrontation about how they really feel about the fact that they didn't get back together 6 months after, or was it a year after, in Vienna, that how she feels about all of the men she's dated and how she hasn't moved forward romantically with anyone. Mm-hmm. Jesse, how he seeing her has pretty much ruined him and there's no way he's going home, right? Mm-hmm. Like, there's something in me that when those breaks happen, that for some reason I feel myself leaning forward to the movie. That I... Maybe it's because... And I've talked to Douglas about this before. I have a very low bar of what I measure myself as anything. So like as an employee, as someone who can be productive, as a regular person in the world, I have this voice in the back of my head that says, Andrew, you're not that good. Anybody, you know, you go through life and all of the people around you who love you and say great things to you like to tell you you're a wonderful person, or you're really good at that thing, or
you're just saying that because you like me.
There's that voice saying that to me, and it's
ignore that voice.
and it's worse because it's one of those things like and I hate to compare myself to this, but it's only like hopefully people will listen to more than the 2 seconds.
You and don't play football as good as Pelé.
God damn it! but like, whenever I hear people talk about, let's go back to last year, to Nate Parker's story and what he went through in the media, and
like, wait, sorry, you're comparing yourself to
As I said, hopefully people won't listen to just those 2 seconds. Right?
Wait.
Like, whenever...
Boy, Andrew, we need to have a conversation.
whenever I hear those things, like, I process that news and the way that he deals with that news, and I recognize that socially, we're only able to prove the negative. Right? Mm-hmm. If only someone would come out with definitive, like, no one can refute it proof that the horrible thing someone said he did, then everyone would be okay. And they'd be able to say he did it unequivocally and we'd move on. Something would happen with him and we'd all move on. But because no one can say it definitively, we're all in this gray area of just being like,
I don't know.
Right? And... like, that's how I feel about every nice thing someone says to me. until someone comes out and says, Andrew, you know, you're really bad at a thing. I'm like, yes, I am. you phoned me out. You're right. The bad things I can prove.
I'm a terrible employee.
The good things, I'm like, you guys can't prove
it. You guys don't know this. There's no hard evidence.
And there's something about, like, watching the before sunset and midnight movies. In those moments when they have those conflicts and they get to talk about all of these horrible things to one another that are sincere feelings they have about themselves and one another, that I'm leaning into it, right? And I don't know what that says about me more than what I just said. But it was just something I noticed. And yeah.
I mean... we should stop talking about these 3 movies because they come up on every podcast. But the conversations, all of them feel like they're coming from a genuine place. It is the thing that everyone loves about these movies. Because it's just 2 people talking. That's all. It's 4 hours of 2 people. 4.5 hours of 2 people talking at each other. They barely go anywhere. They barely do anything. They just walk and talk. And it is whatever.
Aaron Sorkin needs your money.
Right. It is
send
what.
Send him a check.
Everyone, like the converse, like even when it is things and situations you'd never find yourself in, the dialogue is so good that you just go, yeah, I can see where all of these people are coming from. None of it feels, it doesn't feel like it feels like conversation you've had. If not with someone else, you've had these with yourself. Like, you've imagined yourself having these conversations with people. And it's what I always love about these shows. They're just so good. It feels right, these movies. You just watch them and go, all right, yeah.
Each of these movies is a walk down conversation
street. The Grand Tour. So stupid.
So dumb.
I like dumb things.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot. So much.
Yeah. Those movies are great, though. And I agree with you, though, Andrew. That is possibly my favorite moment in all of the 3 movies.
No. What's your favorite movie?
Still from the first one.
The phone call.
The fake phone call. Yeah. Because I've actually, like, that movie has made me use that. And it works. It still works. It's crazy. Whenever I have any doubt about how, like, a first or a second date is going, I use
without
it.
Without the phone call.
Yeah. And it works all the time.
Do you ring in a French accent or an American accent?
No.
No?
Uh-uh. There's other jokes.
Okay.
Like, when she calls me, I'm just like, to the window! Oh, no, sorry. I have to answer this. And... no, we have actual phones, so it's not fake. I'm like, oh, wait.
It's not fake phone. It's not hand phone.
I've answered. It's like, you're an idiot. So I get a quick joke in, and then we can have the conversation, and it helps pass the time, and it's always great. It's always, that is such a killer suggestion that I continue to use. But everything else about, like, it, all of it feels like conversations I've had or will at some point have with somebody.
World Stardust.
That part, no.
You won't have that conversation no, about Stardust.
There's specific lines that I will never be having.
Like, you'll never walk past a poet on the side of the street.
I still live here in this country.
And he'll ask you, pay me if you like the poem.
All right.
That give me a word.
Right, that man will be Shabba. He'll be sitting in half a tree.
Shabba!
And the poetry that will come back, we'll just have Shabba written on it 14 times.
He'll be like, milkshakes and sweet cakes. Shabba!
I'm there. What? I'm there here. What? I don't understand.
Mr. No. Loverman. Milkshake.
Oh. Also, I watched that first movie and I'm like, Jesse's a dick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's just a statement of fact. Yeah. Okay, cool.
I mean, they're both.
They're not.
No, they're
nice people.
No.
But it's no catastrophe.
Oh, catastrophe!
Sweet Jesus.
Say, I want to talk about Before Children.
I can't wait to watch that new season. Right,
so, in my mind, in between the Before movies, is just the seasons of catastrophe.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever watched Waking Life?
Yes.
Before? They're in that. Mm-hmm. They have quite like that movie. Scene. Yes. Me too.
That movie
yeah. Listen,
very interesting.
You see, the thing about that movie is you have to already like it to like it. Right?
Fair enough.
And anybody who says to me, Douglas, that movie is a piling turd of trash fire.
Mediocre. Then
yeah, sure. Okay.
Yeah.
I can't argue with
and that. And like, what saves this is that they're in it. And so I'm just like, I like these two. And then the movie hits me. Oh, wait, Damon.
I like the more
focus.
There are a lot of moments in there. And that's why I like also, and I can't remember if, because we talked about this on the podcast earlier, but I can't remember if you liked it, Slacker. Because that's a similar sort of stream of consciousness kind of movie. Did you like that movie?
I don't remember watching that movie.
It's the one where you kind of just walk around. I think it's Texas. And you follow one guy for a little bit, and there's a portion where
they basically just play tag. Yeah, conversation. Tag. Oh, no. So basically, there are two people, and then you walk off, you meet Douglas, and then they have a conversation, and Douglas walks off to, and it's just conversational tag for an hour and a half.
Yeah. Okay.
And it's strange and
weird. That's a good concept.
Yeah. It was actually his first movie. I think it was probably something to do with school. I don't know.
I have a good time in my own head. It's pretty good.
I noticed
it's fun in here.
But I think though that it might be time for some pineapple
there's
sauce.
Nothing else that we need to talk about, Andrew?
Well, that's after
I'd never want to speak about Ozu again.
I mean, I don't have anything else to bring up. Is there anything you want to bring up?
Not really. It's just not TV really. Shows. Rick and Morty's back. Legion is awesome. The Expanse, you two still haven't watched a second of. You're just like,
thank you for reminding me, though. I did mean to watch
it. I don't care what Damien says.
You know what I watched?
Damien lies. What, that show?
Have you... No, this is not a good show, but have you tried The Travelers on Netflix?
Mm-mm.
So, it kind of worked. The way that I found out about this movie is kind of like the whole Andrew effect, right? Andrew really loves... I hate it so much I can't even remember the name. Almost Famous.
Right.
I hate that movie. Why? Not for any real reason.
It's not
but
real good.
Because Andrew doesn't like it.
It's
that's
fine.
Why I don't like it. Right?
My name.
What
are we talking about? Are we talking about the best movie
The Travelers... was something similar to that, where people were talking about it, and I saw it come up on Netflix, and it had the guy from Will and Grace. I think he was Will. I never watched the show, so I can't really remember character names. It also has like a bunch of other people that you don't know, but there's this weird picture where you look at it and you're like, that's a procedural cop show. Who cares? And everybody kept talking about it. I'm like, you know what? They're wrong. Because they're wrong. And for whatever reason, just the other day I started it. And it's actually not the worst. It is a shitty procedural
cop show, in a way.
But it's almost like, it feels to me like a show I think you didn't like. Called Fringe. Did you watch Fringe?
I watched maybe 2 episodes of Fringe.
Yeah, yeah. So it feels like
I was told that if you watch 14 seasons,
okay,
it becomes good.
Yeah, that sounds like something I would say.
Yeah. Yeah. It was told by unreliable narrator. If you watch 18 seasons of Fringe,
yeah,
you like Fringe.
So it feels like that. Plus it has Fringe, the Netflix veneer right, of I have a lot of money to throw at this,
right,
so we can make at least the technical stuff good.
Yeah.
So I'm actually, I feel like I might follow through on that one. Yeah.
Great.
But I want to watch Expanse. Thanks for reminding me.
It's really good.
Yeah.
I said Rick and Morty's back, right?
Yes, he did.
Szechuan sauce! Rick and Morty's back.
Yes, it is.
I have stopped watching Walking Dead. I just can't seem to bring myself to watch this new season.
We just watched the finale last
Is it
night.
Good? Is Walking Dead still good?
It has moments. But definitely not, definitely not worth the whole ride.
Yeah, it's not. So there are moments, and in particular, most of those moments revolve around Negan. Around,
I think he could do it a lot less Negan. Because I like Negan, but the thing about him that I think is kind of annoying is that every time you see him, he's on the one note.
Yeah.
Right? He has that same swagger about him that it's fun when you first meet him and you have that first great sequence where he's introducing you to all of Negan-ness and the bat and everything, and he's crazy. But every time you see him, it's the same note, and it's just kind of like, all right, we know what we're getting when we get to Negan. And if the season had ended, spoiler, I guess, for the season, with him being murdered, I guess I would have been all right with it. But we're going to bleed him into the next season.
Yeah.
Like, they need to start working on the end
there
of this TV show.
There are a couple of good
Rick
moments as well. But it just, yeah.
I need 10, like, they need to just go, this is the final season. I need 10 incredible, like, I need all the best writers that they have to work out what is going to happen at the end of the show, and then just get me. I just need 10 strong episodes because every season it just feels like less and less worth it. And this season, even though I know it ended,
wasn't there a point in the middle where it was doing that, and then they just decided, you know what, let's make it good again, and then it kind of went back down to nothing.
There's a point where, like, they were just like, we have to keep moving, we have to keep doing things, and then I'm tired, bored. But sports. Champs. You went to Champs.
I did go to
Champs. You enjoy Champs?
Yes, I did enjoy Champs.
Who won Champs?
Didn't,
Campion.
Campion. Actually, no, Campion didn't win Champs, but Campion came second in Champs. Yeah.
What? Sorry?
Campion came second at Champs.
They did.
Yeah.
In like a race?
No. It's good. Like, he actually thinks that there's a world where that's possible. No, dog.
Okay, of course not. Yes, like, it was one race.
On Saturday, I think they participated in 3 races tops.
Yeah.
And I think the girl came
second.
Yeah,
the girl
in one.
Got a.
And everybody else got
silver.
Smoked. Yeah. It's a bad look. It's a really bad look.
Yes. Is it a bad look if they never cared?
You know, it's still a bad look. Yeah, because you still have to show up. You still kind of have to show up.
Like, it doesn't look bad on Sunderland that they're being relegated. Because
it does.
We know they
does.
Don't care.
No, like, you have to pretend. When your team is bad, Man U fans will notice. When your team is bad, you have to pretend that it's okay that they're bad.
Yeah.
Right?
I've been doing that for a while,
exactly.
Though.
It's like when they draw, and
you're like, that's what I wanted. Of course, they drew.
I wanted to get a draw from a last-minute penalty.
We're back to the glory days when we're losing all the way through, and then we gleam one out and the last 9 minutes.
Glean what out?
A draw.
Usually you glean a win. Nope.
No, we're not getting that far in the conversation. Right? I got close enough to parallel it.
Like, Arsenal fans will tell you, listen, like, when at the start of the season, you're like, this year's the year. And then around this time, you're like, listen. Guys, look. All right, listen.
I love how you talk about Arsenal fans in the third person now.
Because
it's great.
Because I no longer care enough. It's Douglas. It is the most freeing thing in the world. Just to just stare at them being bad and point and laugh like you stupid.
I used to remember when you would get visibly upset.
Yeah, there was a time where you like my team being bad at sports would legit hurt. And I had so many teams. I was upset so much of the time. And now, literally none of it matters. I still enjoy all of it because I can just watch anything I want, whenever I want. Like, I don't watch Man U matches anymore because they're terrible at football. Why would I do that to myself? I watch you. I've seen more Chelsea matches this year than anybody else because, as it turns out, Chelsea is the best at football this season. Why would I watch anybody else? I want to watch Arsenal be terrible at football. There's no joy to be had. That shitty 2-all match that they play. Stare at two teams that should be good on paper. You just watch them be terribly. Like,
speaking of matches, Chelsea's match over the weekend.
Yeah.
Whoa. Whoa.
Oh. That first half, those guys came out and gone for you.
Yeah.
They're just like, listen, if we defend, we're going to get smoked. So how about... We attacked for 30 minutes.
And then it was so frustrating because Chelsea just kept... It was like...
Just watching Chelsea, it's just waves.
Waves. And you just crash against it. Yeah. No.
At about the 85th, just looking at Conte's face, like he couldn't believe they were... Like, at least a draw, you
can
sons
you imagine
of bitches.
After 4 minutes, we're one up. You just kind of think to yourself, like, yeah, oh, right, yeah,
this is over.
Of course. That's how this is going
to
go.
Like, halftime, he was visibly upset. At the end of that match, if someone said hi, he'd have stabbed him.
Listen, yeah. I was actually surprised that Mourinho did not fly down.
Yeah.
To
just to laugh,
just to laugh at him.
Just fly back. That's because Man U drew that day, so they couldn't. They didn't have anything
but that's,
to say.
Like, there was a point where I didn't watch Real Madrid matches because I couldn't stand watching them win at football. That is how crazy I was. I know. Don't like Lewis Hamilton didn't win Formula One last season. In previous season, I've gone, you whiny bitch. So happy that you lost. Last season, I'm like, yeah, you got shafted. Like, your car broke down. And so the dude won. And that sucks. No, it's this season. I don't care anymore. Right. Atlanta wasn't my team. They lost. That was hilarious. Watching Tom Brady win. And now cement himself as the most hated man of all time. It's beautiful.
You picked the right year.
Oh, it's start. So good. I saw the thing that couldn't possibly happen in football. And that is the season I followed. I'm like, this is perfect. I'm going to watch this forever. It's watching people hate a man for being good at a sport.
But you've seen it multiple times in real
life. I used to be that person. I didn't like Cristiano Ronaldo for years. Right? And then when he went to Spain, I was so happy because I'm like, clearly he was the best person in England. But when he goes to Spain, Messi, and when Messi beat him, every year at that Ballon d'Or celebration, just looking at his dumb face, so upset. He's like, what more do I need to be good at?
Have a statue.
To win at football. That statue is real.
It's the worst.
But now, when I hear people having those conversations, I'm like, why are we... we've been blessed to see the two greatest footballers of all time play at the same time. All you dudes can do is go, one is better than the other. Keeps the shit. They're so good. Look at everybody else. They're so good that now when you score 30 goals in a season, people go, meh. I think that was basically impossible. People see them do it on a year-to-year basis. Now when others do it, they're like, I guess that's cool, I guess. Who's the best striker in Germany? Lewandowski. How many goals does he have? 30? He's not that good. Such a rocks. Right, I have LeBron James, I have Steph Curry. Like, all of the sports have standout people that will change the face of the sport forever. And I can just watch them and enjoy them, or I can pick a team and be miserable here. I don't like them.
Steph Curry keeps ruining it.
He keeps shooting from far away. You need to attack the basket like a man. Are people gonna... LeBron, he's too big. He's too fast. He's just bullying everybody on the court.
The only person that didn't happen to me at any point would do, even though I should have hated this person to their very essence, is Drogba. It was just too good. It was too good to hate. Too good. Boy, him beat Arsenal every year, but boy, he's so good. He's so good. This big lumbering oaf that is smarter than everybody else on the field and moves like a cheater. Like, who is this? None of that is fair. He's cheating at sports, guys.
I couldn't hate Henry.
Yeah.
As much as I tried.
There's like those players where you're like, I can't hate them. But no, I don't have to hate anybody. When Wenger comes out, it's like, this shows that my team is strong enough to win the title and then loses 5 games. Like, why did you want me? Every year you do this. Just don't talk to people and pray that your team doesn't lose. Just like everybody else. I love sports. So.
But Pineapple.
Right, Pineapple. Douglas. We have to talk yet again about Pitchfork's terrible, terrible mistake where they put out the 50 baddest, roughest of the rough, toughest of the tough.
Did Frankenstein get out?
Music. songs from dancehall reggae. Now, last week we talked about Shabba and
Shabba.
That was great. They seem to think that Shabba is a brilliant songwriter. While everyone who's ever lived in Jamaica understands that Shabba is adept at rhyming on a rhythm. and that's the best we can say. Him being songwriter and talking about issues, those aren't things. Shabba plays hockey.
He talks about
and he's hockey. That's all. So that's the best he could come up with. This week though, while there is no definitive king of the dancehall, there is a definitive queen of the dancehall, and that title goes to only one person, Lady Soul. Soul get aggressive sometime, make him weep and moan. He will weep on the bed and bump it on the floor. Ladies, I make the good time roll. You want it? Heart will take a mile in a slow motion, a acrobatic style. Smooth sailing. This song, not her best song, but it is on one of my favorite readings. the name of the song is Hardcore. It is from the one and only Lady Soul. And this is one of the few songs that you definitely have to live here to have any chance of understanding why this song is A good or B ever popular. Like, there's this, I was trying to like work out a way to explain what Lady Soul's appeal is, and I was like, is she the missy of dancehall? No, because she's not. She'd be the Lil Kim, except she's really good, where Lil Kim was never really that good. And Lil Kim also had no staying power. Lil Kim bursted onto the scene and she was there for about a 3-year period and then was never seen or heard from again. Lady Saw is still performing to this day.
She's a ghost.
Why, Douglas? Why?
Have you seen pictures of
her? Yeah, no, it is hilarious. There was a period that she found Jesus and was singing Christian music. No, Lady Saw.
Oh, no, no, yeah, she's doing that now.
No, she's back. She's back.
But that was up to like last year.
Yeah, she realized that the path that was nonsensical. So she's returned. I really do love Lady Saw. Where she shines is when she's in, and this is a thing that it's in America it's called battle raps, in Jamaica it's called a clash. When two people have to go at each other and come up with lyrics,
mostly on the fly. Clearly, some of it they're pulling from songs that they've done before, but she's one of the best I'd ever seen at it. She was so good. Both attacking, like anybody that stepped up, just
were
man, woman.
Yeah. Both attacking and defensive.
No, I was going to say both attacking men and women. That's probably not the right way to go about it.
I'd like to know what a defensive lyric is.
I wasn't going to say attacking. I was going to say attacking men and women, but it's not the right way. I don't know. This list continues to confuse me. It is like there are songs on the rhythm that is more memorable. There's a song called Tati that it was a dance, much like how Elephant Man used to create dance. That is the song of the rhythm I remember the most because it was so popular for such a long time. And I checked, it is not on their top 50. I had to know.
They do, however, have another song on the same rhythm, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, like, I need to find out who did this list. I have to know. I have to meet this person. So I can shake them vigorously.
Their pitchfork. We need you on our podcast.
The fuck are you talking about? None of this list makes any sense.
Please respond.
The whole premise of this is that these people are the baddest and the toughest and the roughest. Right? You created a new genre that doesn't exist. And your list is nonsense. Like, who is doing this?
Edwin Stats Horton.
Yes.
We need you on the podcast.
Please,
now.
We're calling you out.
You.
What's
you
your Twitter must... handle?
You know, you could just email him.
What?
Could just email
him. I don't.
And request his presence.
We don't use emails.
Okay, Google. Who is Edward Statler? Tell him, stop being a little bitch. Come on to the podcast. Yeah. They had a write-up for this song. It's wrong. This, all of it is bad.
This picture is horrible. By
yeah. But that is the picture that she had on the... Was it a cassingle? Is that what they called it? Hmm? The cassettes that had one track on it? Is that one? Hmm? That's the word, right? I'm not making it up. I'm not making it up.
I'm not going to tell you're making that up.
No.
But I've never heard that before.
Right? This cassettes that only have one track on it. What did people call them?
Cassettes.
No, I've heard people use the word cassingle before.
Because you're dicks.
They call them tapes.
Hate everybody on this podcast.
They call them magnetic media.
Mm-hmm. Okay. VHS, I think it's working. And I just simply because I say it is. It's real time. And it's timeless. It'll be right here for always.
I'm setting my